Hey, look at this. Here are three featured upcoming NHL matchups tonight. ESPN Hockey Night is in Raleigh for the Stars and the Canes at 7 Eastern. The Flyers take on the Blues at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus, and our ABC Saturday matinee has the Golden Knights hosting the Blackhawks. 8 Eastern on ABC. All games are available on the ESPN app. And we say welcome to you. We welcome you back on Get Up. Coming to you live from the Seaport, and we're brought to you by Chase. What a huge day we got in the NFL. Diana Russini here with us. Mike Tannenbaum, Teddy Bruschi, all raring to go to talk some football because, folks, we had a blockbuster trade in the NFL. Here it is, Tyreek Hill, 6-time Pro Bowl wide receiver for the Chiefs, is now a Miami Dolphin, and the Dolphins are now making Hill the highest-paid receiver in NFL history on a 4-year, $120 million contract extension that includes $52.5 million signing bonus. Here are your specifics on the trade. The Dolphins get in return. They give back 5 draft picks to the Chiefs, including first and second round picks in this year's draft. The Chiefs' 2022 draft capital now includes 4 picks in the first and second rounds, including 3 picks within the top 50. So a huge move in the NFL. Huge. And Diana, I start right off with you. The impact of all of this on the man of the hour right now, I feel like, Patrick Mahomes, in addition to Tyreek Hill. But Patrick Mahomes is the big name right now.
Well, first of all, just having conversations around the league about this deal, I feel like most of the GMs I was talking to said, you take that deal. Look at all those picks that Kansas City got. So, you know,
even for Tyreek, that's
even
stunning.
Just for Tyreek, you do it. You make that move. And I did speak with someone in Kansas City yesterday after this trade went down, once everyone sort of settled down. And he said, once you take out that initial shock, that emotion of this offense without Tyreek Hill, thinking about what it's going to look like, this is a great move for us long term here. Short term, maybe a little burn, a little, as they're going to have to try to figure out how they're going to be able to replicate the speed, the explosiveness that Tyreek Hill does bring to this offense. But with a very wide receiver heavy draft class coming up, and with some free agents that are available, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., none of those guys are Tyreek Hill. That is very clear. We all know that. But in terms of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, what they're able to do together and how Andy Reid has proven in the past he can make it work, there is definitely a sense I was getting from Kansas City just from this conversation that they feel like they're going to be just fine.
Okay. See, I'm surprised by that because Mike T, I understand. I can see the long-term part of it, but fans, they don't want to hear about long-term, especially when you talk about a loaded AFC West. What did you make of this deal when you heard it?
Well, I think just staying on the Kansas City side, I think Diana nailed it, which is maybe you get somebody short-term like an Odell Beckham Jr. coming off of an injury and then draft one, maybe two receivers. And clearly, Green Bay is going to do something very similar with Davante Adams. From the Miami standpoint, wow, they are unbelievably explosive now. When you pair him with Jalen Waddle's last year's first-round pick, Raheem Mostert, someone Coach McDaniel had in San Francisco, Mike Gesicki could run a tight end. This gives Tua Tagovailoa every possible weapon to be successful. And oh, by the way, the Dolphins added 2 really good offensive linemen free agency. So they need to know this year what they have in Tua. And he has no excuses because these guys can all run. They're explosive. And this is a make or break year. Make no mistake about it. I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on Tua. And let's see how he performs, especially early in the season in this new offense.
Okay, but let's take it back to the Chiefs. Teddy, how does Tyreek Hill leaving now impact Patrick Mahomes and these Chiefs who have Super Bowl aspirations?
Yeah, I'd say I call Tyreek Hill an explosive out, meaning when things go wrong, Patrick Mahomes knew where to look and he looked 40, 50 yards down the field and that was his out, just to throw it up. That type of street ball explosiveness is now gone. That type of threat, that defensive coordinators just had a headache in terms of, okay, what DB do we put on him? I mean, what safety do we put over the top? And then how do we deal with Kelsey? Those type of problems are now gone because, let me use the word rare. This was a rare player paired with Patrick Mahomes and the play calling, a rare player that made guys look ridiculous when he got the ball with space, and Patrick Mahomes knew how to do that. So, I mean, this is a huge blow for an offense that was highly explosive. Everyone across the league that plays against the Kansas City Chiefs is saying, yes, we don't have to worry about that anymore. And they are now going to have to adjust and move on because that element, what the Chiefs would be saying now down the road when Kelce, when Mahomes and Hill get together is, how did we only win one with that partnership? Because I thought it was that special.
See, Teddy, I think the timeline so different than, let's say, the Green Bay Packers right now, where they got to win now because they know Aaron Rodgers maybe will retire in the next few years. Patrick Mahomes is just 26 years old. They've got years here, and it seems that Andy Reid isn't going anywhere, especially if they're going to make a move like this. Mike T pointed out clearly before. So I think in terms of looking ahead, as you said, players hate looking ahead, but this is a smart move, especially knowing what they could potentially get in this draft.
Okay, Mike T, I want to get you in here quick because we know Patrick Mahomes has the big deal, right? How much is his contract impacting this Chiefs team?
Hugely consequential, but Ryan, that's the definition of greatness, which is you need to impact others. We have Patrick Mahomes, we have Andy Reid. You're going to have to make the most out of a first-round pick. You're going to have to make the most out of Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, and nobody knows that better than Teddy. Tom Brady, for a couple of decades, made everyone around him better. That's why you're paying him $46 million a year, is to make those around you better, and some are going to graduate. Eventually, the salary cap catches up with everybody, and that's where, in my opinion, Patrick Mahomes is going to have to show true greatness this year and elevate the play around everybody else around him.
Yeah. Teddy, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, the one element which the Chiefs were, I mean, the big three, if you will, the Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill is now gone. So the ability for Kansas City to show that they can reinvent and redefine themselves offensively and also develop someone to find a new piece that brings different things is, you know, pretty much critical to the success, the long-term success. Because I'm with Diana and Mike T. I mean, you're loaded up now. You can rebuild, but you got to make the right calls. You got to bring in the right players, and you got to develop them the right way.
The last thing I think Kansas City Chiefs fans want to hear right now is the word rebuild. But imagine what those fans are thinking sitting in KC right now without Tyreek Hill on that
team.
They're
not rebuilding. They're just renovating a lot.
Still, they don't want to hear that either. All right.
Renovate.
All right, we'll talk a lot more about this, but first I got to get to this. The game of the night in the NBA, the Nets taking on the Grizzlies. There's Kyrie Irving, averaging 37.8 points per game in his last four. It's his 30th birthday, too. And happy birthday. You don't have to face Ja Morant. He wasn't in the lineup, but Kyrie, man, he was moving. Laying it up right there. Nets down seven right here. Durant to Irving for three and the foul. Irving connecting through the contact there. And then later in the third, Durant making his moves. The pull-up jumper, good. KD and Kyrie, 25 in the third quarter together. Nets lead by one after three, but then the Grizzlies came back. Fourth quarter, Desmond Bain finding Brandon Clark for the dunk. And then later in the fourth, Bain, he has been a revelation for this Grizzlies team. And there he is hitting the three. Ja loving it, saying, my team gets it done when I'm not in the lineup. That's why I'm dancing. Pulling away, they're up 11. Desmond Bane, heat check three-pointer falls. And they win it 132-120. Now, the Nets' next game is Saturday in Miami, and their next home game is Sunday against the Hornets. And Kyrie Irving is going to be eligible to play in that game. New York's Mayor Eric Adams will lift the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate on athletes today. And Irving was asked about it after last night's game.
Do not ask me any questions about hypotheticals, about what's going to happen. Please do not. Until anything gets official, please do not ask me any questions about that, y'all. Just jumping in the lineup, jumping out, you know, looking forward. Hopefully that could be something we could fix and move past.
Music to the ears of Nets fans. We bring in Brian Windhorst and Vince Carter. And Wendy, what does this mean now for Kyrie and the Nets?
Yeah, music to the ears of Nets fans, but not good news for the rest of the Eastern Conference, because the Nets had just went from being a probable hard out to being a team that can win the East. And when you look at the numbers, there's undeniable the difference Kyrie Irving makes in this team. When they are at home this year, they are a bottom five offensive team. Some of that's because Kevin Durant missed a bunch of games. But when they are on the road, they are number one in the league in offense. He is that much of a difference maker. When they have Kyrie this year on the road, they're the third best team in net rating at home. Again, bottom 10 without him. So you add Kyrie Irving, you add such a potent new factor that this changes the dynamic in the Eastern Conference. That said, they're only 8-12 with Kyrie Irving in the lineup this year. And the reason is because they're weak on defense. They are not a guarantee to win the East, but they are a contender.
So they're an enigma. And Vince, what does this mean now for the Nets now in the East? Vegas has been favoring them to go to the title, to go to the finals. But what does this mean for them now in the East?
Well, but Ryan, Wendy said it. I mean, defensively is going to be the key and keeping their guys healthy. Defensively, let's talk about that. Durant was like, yeah, we gave up a lot of open threes. Well, they also gave up a lot of point blank layups. Their defense was just in scramble mode for a lot of the second half. And they were playing, you know, chasing their tail. It's just the lack of communication. That's important, having your team together where you understand defenses, where the guy's supposed to be or where you're supposed to be in situations like that. Offensively, I think Seth Curry is a huge, huge piece to this puzzle because he spreads the floor for Durant and Kyrie. Yes, Kyrie and Durant can get their own bucket whenever you need them to, but sometimes you just want to get down and score with ease or just play one-on-one. Now teams, you see, are shrinking the floor and making it a little tougher and saying, hey, Bruce Brown or some other guy is going to have to make a bucket instead. You have Seth Curry out there. It's a little different. So, yes, the East should be on notice because you're talking about a potential eight seed. If you're the Heat, you say, wait, eight to play these guys? Yeah, look out.
Seth Curry coming over in that trade from Philly, making a big difference on Brooklyn. And now, guys, Brooklyn is now the eighth seed. They could face seventh seed Toronto in the play-in with no Kyrie in the play-in game because of Canada's vaccine restrictions. Vince, how important is it for the Nets to try to move up out of that eighth seed?
I think it's important for them. I mean, one, you want to get your unit together, starting to play together, and not have Kyrie in and out of the lineup. Of course, that's just what it is in Toronto. So to avoid that, you go win games. And I think they let an important game slip away from them right here against the Memphis Grizzlies. Because this is a winnable game. Yes, the Grizzlies play extremely hard, but they need to move up. I'm sure they want to move up because they want to get the best possible seed. You don't want to get in a situation where, yes, I know you have to win one of the two games, but you don't want to potentially lose game that first game against, let's say, the Raptors because you don't have Kyrie and have to play your best basketball against a team 9 or 10 that has nothing to lose.
And by the way, you talk about moving up. One piece that could be critical for that is Ben Simmons. You know, Wendy, we talk about his availability. He is still yet to debut for the Nets. What's the latest you're hearing on Simmons and his status this season?
Well, Steve Nash said yesterday that the Nets would feel comfortable bringing Ben Simmons to play right into the playoffs. If he doesn't play before the playoffs, they would still leave that as an option. That, to me, seems wild considering he's never played for the team this season. But they're still leaving that door open. Now, this epidural that he had last week, I have talked and covered to players over the years who've had epidurals like this on herniated discs, and it does provide relief. And they are able to get out back on the court in a relative short amount of time. It doesn't deal with the underlying issue of a significant injury with a herniated disc, but they're not closing the door on that. And because of their defensive issues, getting a player like Ben Simmons would be huge for them. But I think we would really kind of not make a lot of sense if we assumed anything with Ben Simmons at this point, considering he has not played in something like 315 days. Assuming that they're going to get him at all, I think is probably a bit of a reach at this point.
Okay, Vince, well,
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead, real quick.
I just want to say one thing. I think it's easier to plug in somebody like Ben Simmons, who's not a guy who a threat offensively. You'd want him to facilitate and defend. So I think implementing him in the playoffs is a little easier as long as he understands the offense and the defense.
Okay, and that's interesting considering his playoff history, especially last year. We'll see how that plays out. Thank you so much, guys. More basketball coming up, including this. The sideline spat in Miami involving Jimmy Butler. What actually happened, and could it derail the Heat? And now that Tyreek Hill is gone, is it possible that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will miss the playoffs? Say it ain't so. We'll talk about it when we come back on Get Up. With this huge Tyreek Hill news, we got to play a game of Teddy Set Go. We're going to walk through some angles of the Tyreek Hill trade with Teddy Bruschi. All right, so Teddy, who's the big winner of the Tyreek Hill trade?
All right, the biggest winner are every single defense that'll go up against the Kansas City Chiefs offense this year, because they just don't have to worry about this problem anymore. The problem of who to double him with, who's the safety over the top, what do we do when he's in the slot, when he's in motion, all of that stuff. So defensive coordinators that have to game plan against this guy, they are the winners.
Defense wins. It's Teddy's favorite day of the month. Okay, who's the biggest loser of this trade?
I just really think the biggest loser is Patrick Mahomes. And there's a lot of, you see when Patrick Mahomes plays, how comfortable he is, because he knew he had this explosive out where I can drop back 14 yards and just give it to my guy. The cheat is going to be out there and he's going to outrun everybody for it. So Patrick Mahomes has to expand himself as a quarterback, probably with a rookie receiver.
Cannot be a fun morning for him. Will the Chiefs make the playoffs, Teddy?
I'm with Diana on this one. Yes, they still make the playoffs. I mean, it's just that it's going to be tight still, because I still think Andy Reid's there, Patrick Mahomes is there, and they will be competitive in this AFC West. Listen, Ken, I'll be on next week. Now, this may be this change in a week, but with all the moves going on. But yes, they are still a quality football team with an outstanding quarterback and coach.
Okay, so Teddy, you know, this AFC is now loaded. We obviously know the AFC West is loaded. Give us who your playoff teams are in the AFC.
Okay, well, let's start with the AFC West and with the impactful move that is the Tyreek Hill exit. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers to win that division right there. I think the Bengals are still the class of the AFC North. I'll go with the Bills winning the East. I really like the Buffalo Bills and what they're doing. And the Tennessee Titans winning the South there. So wild card teams, I got Chiefs, I got Patriots, and I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders. I think Josh McDaniels over there as a first-year head coach, along with Derek Carr. I think they did some great things defensively, bringing in Chandler Jones, and also having Tay there, Devontae Adams. I like the Raiders to be one of the teams that make that playoff push.
You know, this is such a great list, Teddy, because all I can think about is who is not on this list. The Broncos, the Ravens, the Browns, the Colts, and guess who?
It's
the
tough.
Dolphins.
It's hard.
It is
and
hard.
I reserve the right to change my opinion
two weeks
next week when
a week into free agency. Yeah. We still got the draft, right? There's still so much that can happen.
But so what do you think of this
list? It's fun, though, to do this right now and you think about it. I actually really like Teddy's list. I did think it was interesting, Teddy, that you didn't have the Colts on there, knowing that, you know, the moves that they're making, their roster's really good. We know their run game, their offensive line's really good. And look, they traded for Matt Ryan for a reason. They believe they can do it now. But the Ravens are the team that you don't have on there. That I believe need to be. And I'm sure we could both like split hairs on that and why I think they could be there. But, you know, Lamar Jackson is just one of those quarterbacks that wins games and he finds ways to do it. And I love what they did with their defense during this offseason, the moves they made there. It's just typical Baltimore, right? How are they able to always land these guys? They do, and they're always the same type of personality type players there. And they were able to take another step forward, I think, on their defense here. But, you know, with Lamar Jackson, I'm going to assume this contract's going to get done. I think it gets done. I think the Ravens need to be in that conversation.
You know, and you're right. We're splitting here. We could say all of this about all 12 of these teams. All of them can end up with winning records. Somebody on the way out. Now, Mike T, you look at Teddy's list. Who do you see potentially missing the playoffs in the AFC?
Well, really for the same reason that Diana just said, I like Baltimore. So believe it or not, I have Cincinnati out.
Whoa.
And that's really hard to say when you have the great Joe Burrow. They've improved the offensive line. But they're going to miss C.J. Uzma, who they lost in free agency. I just felt like last year everything went right for them. So it just shows you, you know, Dave McKinnon last week asked me this question, and I thought it was ridiculously hard then. And it's even harder now, given everything that's transpired. But I just think it's going to be one of those years where, even though Cincinnati made it all the way to the Super Bowl, I have them out as of now. But as Teddy said, check back in a week, because my plan and prediction is firmly etched in pencil.
I can promise you Bengals fans are going to clip this segment, because they are heavy on the Twitter when it comes to doubting their team. I did it last year and I got burned there. But I'm with you, Mike T. I think a lot of really good things went their way. I don't think their defense is going to be
as dynamic. You think they can miss the playoffs?
I think the Bengals can do – I think they can miss out. Look, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase are unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. They are going to be in this league causing problems for a really long time. But I don't think they're going to be able to capture a little bit of that luck that they had last season in the postseason and repeat that. I think it's difficult whether you win the Super Bowl or if you play in the Super mm-hmm. Bowl to come back and have a performance like that.
Bengals fans, I'm on your side. I think you're making the playoffs. Teddy, what do you think?
You buck kisser.
Yeah, and Diana and Mike T, I'm with you. I've been on a team that's won the Super Bowl and didn't make the playoffs the next year. There's a lot that happens, especially when you have the core of your leadership being so young, when you think you've arrived, and there's a mental type of pressure that's new to you when it's like you're not sneaking up on anyone anymore. So Cincinnati, the AFC North, definitely will be much more competitive. And that Baltimore pick too, Diana, I'm with you because that's a tough team to bet against.
Teddy, great remember point. Joe said, you don't know what you don't know, Joe Burrow was saying. In yep. a way, their naivete was the best thing going for the Bengals. But guess what? They know now.
And now everybody knows all about them. It'll be an interesting year for them in the AFC. Well, coming up, what in the heck happened in Miami last night? Tempers flaring on the Miami sideline. Things nearly got really ugly, and we're talking about that and a lot more coming up next on Get Up. And then there's Kyrie Irving going from part-time to full-time. How is that going to impact the Nets' championship hopes? That and a lot more coming up when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up, and we start you with the game of the night. Nets, Grizzlies, Kyrie Irving in the lineup, 37.8 points per game in his last four. It's his 30th birthday, too. Happy birthday. Ja Morant's not playing for Memphis. So, down 9 in the third, KD and Irving coming alive. There's Irving with the drive and the layup. And now they're down 7. Here's Durant to Irving for 3 and the foul. J-Will with us. J-Will, he was on one.
The most dynamic duo and skilled duo in the history of the game. And that's what KD and Kyrie are.
Yep, they had 25 in the third together. Nets up 1, but then the Grizzlies fought back. Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark with the dunk. And then later in the fourth, J. Will, Bane, he's been a revelation. Look at him hitting this 3.
By the way, Ryan, it was less than a month ago that I said that the Memphis Grizzlies would be in the NBA Finals, and people were calling me crazy. They're 15-2 without Ja Morant. Tell me what this team is with Ja Morant.
And they won that one. It was a big one, 132-120. Now, New York Mayor Eric Adams is going to lift the COVID-19 vaccine mandate on athletes today. Huge news in the NBA. That allows Kyrie Irving to play in home games. So I want to bring in Brian Windhorst, Vince Carter now with us. Wendy, what does this mean for the Nets and Kyrie now?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, you know, for the last few weeks, there's been a feel that maybe something could happen after the baseball lockout ended because there was this pressure about the Mets and the Yankees. The Nets, kind of owe this turn to the baseball season coming, because I do believe that was the battering ram that forced it through. And so that changes everything for these teams up and down the Eastern Conference standing. This is obviously a huge moment for the Nets, because they get at least two of their three stars out on the court to try to compete throughout the playoffs. But oh my gosh, the reactions in the league were way outside Brooklyn. This was felt in Miami. This was felt in Milwaukee. This was felt in Philadelphia. There is not going to be any easy going in the Eastern Conference this year. Not the play-in games, not 1 versus 8, not 2 versus 7. The battle for the number 6-7, which is going to be on fire tonight in Toronto between Cleveland and Toronto, for that spot is going to be intense. This amps everything up in this going to be huge Eastern Conference playoffs.
It really does, because the last team you want to face is the Nets in that first round. Vince, what does this make the Nets in the East now, considering Kyrie coming back and maybe even Ben Simmons?
Well, it makes the Nets scary. And like Wendy said, if you're sitting in the 1-2-3 seed, you're thinking, man, we worked this hard to get a home court advantage and the best possible seed to see a very good team like the Nets at 8. Or 7 or 6. So, for the Nets, I think this is great. Now you kind of get your team together, and now you're on the same page for the rest of the season, and everybody understands what needs to be done. But they have to figure out defensively how they're going to get stops. I mean, I think that's the thing. They can score with the best of them, but you're going to have to get stops. And I think missing Seth Curry, having a healthy roster to complement these guys are very important, because if you're able to open the floor for Kyrie and KD to play one-on-one, and like Jay Will said, the skilled backcourt, one of the best there is in the business, if you allow them to play one-on-one with help late, you have no chance.
Real quick, Jay, team to beat in the East, the Nets?
I mean, look, they're one of the top teams in the East. I just think the amount of times I've seen people disrespect the Milwaukee Bucks continues to blow my mind. Hey, they are the defending champions. And we act like, I know Boston's playing great. I know you get Kyrie Irving back. It might make them slightly the favorite, VC. The amount of times, it really makes me feel like Giannis is one of the most disrespected superstars in the game. We never even mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks. It's like they're an
afterthought. We haven't mentioned them yet.
Exactly.
You're right.
It's a shame. You win the title, and still, look at Vegas, still putting the Nets on top there. Let me ask you this, Jay Will. Nets 8th seed, full-time Kyrie coming back. Should the top four teams be on notice? Like, how do you even handle that?
Well, every team should be on notice.
Yeah.
I do think it would be interesting seeing where Miami has been. They had a spat last night, obviously, because they need to bring a sense of urgency defensively. But P.J. Tucker did do a hell of a job guarding Kevin Durant. We saw last year when he was with the Milwaukee Bucks. But still, KD by himself, pretty much with James Harden limping, had a chance to win that game. Mm-hmm. So, like BC said, I think it comes down to how quickly can Brooklyn's defense get up to par with what we know their offense can be. And here's what it comes down to: coaching. It's going to come down to scheming for Steve Nash. We always talk about KD, Kyrie, Seth Curry, where's Ben Simmons? But we have to start talking about the schemes and Steve Nash's coaching to take this team over the hump.
Okay, so the pressure on Steve Nash. And meanwhile, a lot of pressure on Miami. Last night, frustrations boiling over as Jimmy Butler and teammate Udonis Haslem got into a scuffle on the bench. Look at him. Coach Eric Spoelstra slamming his clipboard right there, trying to break it up. Heat fell 118-104 to the Warriors to lose their second straight. Are all things well in Heatland? I mean, they were looking so good for so long, Jay Will. They've lost 2 straight, 4 of their last 7, loosening the grip on the top of the East. Let me ask you, what are you looking at when you see this sideline spat?
I'm okay with it. I think all great teams, whether you guys see it or not, go through situations like this where there's spats. Now, if you're asking me, do I think the Miami Heat are the best team in the Eastern Conference? No, I don't. I think collectively they're great defensively, but one of the things I've always seen from Miami is that they run out of gas because of how hard they need to play all the time. And Jimmy Butler's great. I don't think they're the next level of superstars that we've seen now with James Harden, now with KD, now with Giannis and other teams, and even the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
So you don't even think they're the best team. So, VC, I ask you this. The Heat remain the top seed in the East. As of now, they would play 8th seed Brooklyn. If we looked at it today, should they be concerned, or how concerned should they be about the Nets?
I mean, they definitely should be concerned. I mean, you're talking about an offensive duo in Kyrie and KD that is like no other. defensively, they're there, but they haven't played great defense. They, meaning the Heat, has not played great defense lately. So you're going to have to figure out how you're going to stop these guys. But on the flip side, Jay Will, you said something that makes a lot of sense and hasn't been talked about. Yeah, it's going to come down to coaching and scheme, because you now have your complete team, and they're going to be game plan. And do you have enough ideas to put your team in successful positions? Because, you know, I really believe Ben Simmons will help this team, because he's a guy who can – you put the ball in his hands at that height, and he causes mismatch in the post, and he's a great facilitator. But until then, how do you figure this thing out? If you have to go to Toronto, and if you're not in Toronto, and now if they're taking these guys away, if they play a triangle and two, you have to figure out these different schemes in game. And can he do that is the question.
Okay, lots of work out there. Wendy, I come to you for the last word on this. That spat again with the Heat. You look at it from the outside looking in, it looks like trouble. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, I know all the people involved here. I know that but this was really between Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra interpreted that Jimmy Butler wanted to step outside with him, which was hilarious. I know Jimmy likes to cause conflict. It's where he's comfortable. I know Eric Spoelstra likes to challenge his players. And I know Udonis Haslem likes to threaten to beat people up. He does it 10 to 15 times a week. So this was just, a classic Miami Heat situation that happened to happen in public that usually happens behind the scenes. And look, the Heat have lost four of their last seven. They've played some of the best teams in the league and lost to them. So I'm going to tell you something. Let's put a big circle around Saturday night. Heat hosting the Nets. Kyrie will be there. Durant will be there. The Heat are healthy. This is a chance to send a message to their possible first-round playoff opponent and for the Heat to get healthy. I look for a strong bounce-back performance Saturday night.
That is going to be must-see TV. Can't wait for it. And, guys, speaking of can't wait for it, I can't wait for this. Just a day after posting that dunk on Instagram, Zion, could he be returning? He's been cleared for one-on-one practice with the Pelicans. Here he is. Zion's last game came in May of last year. And so, Wendy, Zion has yet to play this season. What's the latest on the Pelicans and Zion's status going forward?
Way of the first win for Zion Williamson in about 10 months, because the Pelicans were going to keep this going very slowly. They had not cleared him to do anything like he had done with that dunk. He did it in total violation of where he was cleared to by the team. And the next day, the team moved him forward in their recovery process. Now, I'm sure they had some sort of schedule and they can point to that, but there's no doubt that there's a causation here. Now, I still think it's hard to believe that Zion could progress from one-on-one to three-on-three to five-on-five to full scrimmaging to clearance to play in just the seven or eight games that they've got left. But listen, if he's unhappy with how fast they're going, he can just post some more videos, I guess.
And we just can't stop watching that video. And by the way, it was posted Tuesday night. He posted on Instagram. Vince, you're our dunker extraordinaire watching this dunk. How ready does Zion look to return this season?
But Wendy, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, in today's world with social media, if a player isn't happy, he can post this video and say, hey, the organization doesn't want me to play, but look at me. This is what I could do. But you got to understand from the other side, the organization, that's a lot of money. That's their superstar player. They're going to bring him along slowly, because you look at where they are now. They're right there. And I know we sit here like, oh, you add Zion, they're going to be right there. They're in the playoffs, and they're going to be in the playoffs and make some noise. But they want to make sure he's healthy. And when he gets back on the court, it's for the long term. He's not in and out of the lineup. That's important. And understanding that we as players sometimes, we need to be saved from ourselves. You know, Jay, I've heard you say this a lot of times. You want him, Zion, to lose a little weight, because that's one dunk that we're seeing by himself. You're talking about him landing that big body on that surgically repaired foot all the time. That's dangerous. And you know, the Pelicans want to make sure that he's 100% full go, full bore when he gets back on the floor.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because, Jay, I look at this video, and honestly, that was the first thing I thought. I thought, how is that going to affect his foot? Should he be doing this? What did you make when you saw that?
I don't think Zion's going to play this year. I wouldn't play
really?
This
not
year.
Really? Not even if they get into the playoffs?
It. I would not rush him back. I think long-term for Zion, that's how I look at him, what's in the best interest for him long-term or not. But here's the thing. I still think the Pelicans, in a play-in scenario, could beat the Los Angeles Lakers without Zion. And that's my point. Like, we're talking about the Lakers not making the playoffs, depending upon when AD comes back, if he's coming back, Wendy, I don't know what the hell is going on with that. But we're all of a sudden expecting the Lakers just to turn it on down the stretch. I know LeBron James can turn on. I don't know if everybody else can turn on around him to beat the Pelicans.
Okay, Wendy, what do you think about that?
Well, they have two games left against each other, and the Lakers are really putting a lot of value in Sunday's game in New Orleans. They sat LeBron James last night in large part because it would make sure he would have a week off. So two games left with the Pelicans and Lakers. The outcome of those two games very likely is going to determine who gets the home game. So one game in L.A., one game in New Orleans. The Lakers have the harder schedule, considerably harder than the Spurs, who are lurking there, and they just blasted the Trailblazers last night by 30. The Spurs get to play the Blazers twice more in the next five games. So the Lakers haven't just got to worry about the Pelicans. They got to worry about the Spurs and get a couple of wins here. So when AD comes back, they have a chance to even play in that game.
It's amazing. Who would have ever thought we would be in a place where we would be saying the Lakers could actually miss the entire thing, not just the playoffs, the play-in tournament, all of it. That's the stakes right now going on out there. Guys, thank you so much. And by the way, let's keep it in basketball. NCAA Women's Championship Sweet 16 matchups for Friday. Number one seeded South Carolina taking on North Carolina on ESPN at 7 Eastern. Then ESPN2 has Ohio State, Texas. Then Maryland takes on defending champs, the defending national champ Stanford on ESPN with Craig and Iowa State on ESPN2. All four games are available on the ESPN app. Well, coming up, does Patrick Mahomes have enough weapons in Kansas City? Can the Chiefs find a replacement for Tyreek Hill in the draft? We're going to ask Mel Kiper Jr. next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up and talking about the big trades this offseason. How big of an offseason has it been for the NFL? It's overshadowed everything else in sports because look at these deals. The first big one, Russell Wilson from Seattle to Denver, instantly turning the Broncos into contenders. In return, Seattle received a bunch of picks, including 2 first-rounders, Drew Lock and Noah Fant. And then the Browns getting Deshaun Watson in a trade for the Texans. First-round picks, 2022, 2023, 2024, as well as 3 additional later-round picks going to the Texans. And then another blockbuster, Devontae Adams going to the Raiders, giving the Packers their first and second round picks this year. Vegas also giving Adams a 5-year deal worth over $28 million a year. And then yesterday, maybe the biggest of all, 5 draft picks going from the Chiefs to trade to the Dolphins for Tyreek Hill. The Fins also gave a 4-year extension worth $120 million and more than $72 million guaranteed to Hill. So such a big offseason, and we have to bring our team back and add in Mel Kiper Jr. to talk a little bit of draft, because Mel, here's the thing. The Chiefs, they lost their top wideout. So you have to think that these Chiefs are thinking replacement through the draft. What do you think they need to do in this draft in order to replace Tyreek Hill?
Not get one, get two. This is a strong and deep wide receiver group. Problem is at 29 and 30, 6 receivers could be off the board by the time the Chiefs pick if they remain in the late first round with those 2 picks. Green Bay picking at 28 before them. They have a pick prior to that. They need wide receiver help. Who's the 7th receiver? I love Sky Moore out of Western Michigan. I think he's very underrated. I think he'll be better than some of the guys go ahead of him. So if they have to go for Sky Moore, great. But I would add another receiver at some point in this draft. Maybe 3. I'm talking about both those teams, Green Bay and Kansas City, maybe selecting 3 receivers after all is said and done. If they want to get a receiver that they target, whether it's Chris Olave, they have to go up into the middle of the first to get him. If it's Jahan Dotson, they would have to move up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if they're aggressive and try to go up and get a receiver they feel is worthy of going up and getting, or do they sit where they are and maybe take the 7th receiver off the board?
Mel, I feel like we're looking at a very deep receiver class. I feel like there's a lot of great young receivers in the league. Could that have been part of the Chiefs thinking that we're maybe having an historic run in terms of deep wide receiver classes in the drafts?
Yeah, this receiver class is not just the first round. It's all the way into the fourth, fifth round. Okay, Kyle Phillips out of UCLA could be a Hunter Renfro type. Where'd Hunter Renfro go? You think down the line, day three. You think about Christian Watson, North Dakota State, gaining momentum through the draft process. A guy like George Pickens now will be 2 years removed from the injury at Georgia. So this is a deep group, a talented group. As I say, six receivers could be gone. Burks from Arkansas being another is going to go maybe right in that general area where both the Packers and the Chiefs are selecting. So I think it's going to be fun to see whether the Chiefs are aggressive, as I say, and go up. Chris Olave's red hot right now out of Ohio State. Garrett Wilson, Ohio State's in the top 10. Okay, you think about Jahan Dotson. He's in that maybe 15 to 25 area. So it's going to be really fascinating to see how they attack this whole thing and find another wide receiver or two or maybe three for Patrick Mahomes.
So, Mike T, you're our GM. How would you attack this if you were the GM of the Chiefs?
I'm going to take what Mel did, and I'm going to raise the stakes. I'm going to take 50 and 29, the two picks I got from Miami, and I'm Andy Reid. I'm calling Mike Tomlin at pick number 20. I'm going one spot above New England, and I'm taking Jameson Williams. I was at the SEC championship game. He had seven catches for 26.3 yards per catch. He may be Tyreek Hill. I know that's a big statement, but if he's healthy, he tore his ACL. If he's healthy, he has game-changing speed. So I see the board very similar to Mel, and I'm going to go get Jameson Williams, who if things go well in terms of his rehab, very likely could be the next Tyreek Hill.
Teddy, go ahead, jump in.
I just got a quick question for Mike T, being the GM and everything. Through all the last 2 years of what Rodgers went through and him talking about having say and all this stuff, so sort of steering towards the Chiefs, is your quarterback consulted? It's a small community of quarterbacks, wide receivers from all the 7-on-7 camps all the way up through the league. It's like it's easy to find out things. Do you consult your quarterback in terms of are there two that you like?
Absolutely. That's earned, Teddy. As you know, they have a seat at the table. They're not making the decision, but absolutely, guys that they've either worked out with, any other information they have, I want all information I can get before I make a decision. And someone like Patrick Mahomes has earned the seat at the table based on his ability, his commitment. So it's all contextual, but it's a very fair point.
Diana, I wonder if this deep wide receiver draft contributed to what the Chiefs did here. Because a lot of Chiefs fans are waking up this morning stunned.
Yeah.
But they may be able to find a replacement, maybe not at the same impact this year, but maybe down the line.
Yeah, once you chill out a little bit and take a breath.
That's asking a lot.
And remember that this GM in Kansas City knows what he's doing. He's done a really good job, and they have to really lean into the history and how he's been able to put together this roster. But you look at the amount of picks that the Chiefs were able to get. And I said earlier in this show, talking to other GMs around the league, not in Kansas City specifically, but almost every person I talked to said, you make this deal. You trade away Tyreek Hill knowing how much draft capital you're getting back. So I'm with Mike T here, Mel Kiper as well. I don't know this for a fact, but I think if the Kansas City Chiefs want to figure out a way to replace or at least try to come close to it, they're going to package some of these picks that they got from Miami and just move right up the board. And they're going to be able to get a receiver, maybe even get two, three of them out of all of this. And so in the end, while it may burn, it may hurt, hearts may be broken this morning in the Kansas City area, I think when they wake up the day after the draft, they may be smiling.
But I can't believe you're saying you make this deal. Mike, I come back to you because I think Kansas City fans, again, looking at this saying, oh my goodness, but in terms of average annual value, now what Tyreek Hill is making is more than any other non-quarterback in the league. So maybe it was a deal they had to make.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter put a ribbon on this yesterday. The highest paid receivers are with quarterbacks that are on rookie deals, be it DeAndre Hopkins with Kyler Murray, the two receivers with Justin Herbert, or what we saw yesterday with Tyreek Hill going with Tua. And as Mel alluded to, when you can get quality receivers all the way through the fourth round, it's a resource allocation discussion. I mean, Teddy, rather overpay, you know, middle linebackers than go pay a receiver. So you just got to figure out where you want to put your resources.
Yeah, and we could all thank Bill O'Brien, right? Going back to when he traded DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins gets that big deal, guys. He makes all this money, and now it's set the market from there. Davante Adams, who knows what would have happened if they never traded him away?
Unbelievable how fast it's happened. Mel, give us the final thought.
Yeah, I think what Mike was saying, Diana, you talk about Jamison Williams. I went to the intel. You talk to people, as Mike knows, in the league when you're doing mock drafts. The intel on Jamison was first round, despite coming off that ACL, despite maybe not being ready until whenever, October, November, 21 New England picks. I have Jamison Williams going 21 to New England, right ahead of Green Bay at 22. So if what Mike says with Kansas City, that's probably who you have to get ahead of to get Jamison Williams. You know about the Belichick-Saban connection. We know New England needs a receiver and a corner. Jamison Williams is there, 21 for New England. Or 24-2 for Green Bay. I got to believe his name is called.
Okay, maybe a name for fans to watch. Jamison Williams, possibly. Let's see how that plays out. In the meantime, the next UFC Fight Night, Saturday from Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. The main event features the heavyweight matchup between Curtis Blaydes and Chris Daukaus. The prelims start at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, you just go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Well, first takes coming up next. How will the decision to allow Kyrie to play home games impact the playoffs? Plus, did KC make the right decision to trade Tyreek Hill? First take, Molly, Stephen A., Brian Windhorst, and Lewis Riddick. That's after us.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Take a look at three of our featured upcoming NHL matchups. Tonight, ESPN Hockey Night is in Raleigh for the Stars and the Canes at 7 Eastern. Flyers taking on the Blues at 8 Eastern. ESPN Plus and our ABC Saturday matinee has the Golden Knights hosting the Blackhawks. 3 Eastern on ABC. All of the stuff available on the ESPN app. Yeah. So, final thought on the trade?
I think once Tyreek Hill stops looking at his ATM account, he's going to miss Patrick Mahomes more than Patrick Mahomes misses
him. Ouch! Okay. First take starts right now.